Well, first off, I want to say that it is a delight to be with you here on this Feast of Pentecost. I don't recall if I've been with you on a Feast of Pentecost. Yes. It was a while back.
I organized that for confirmation.
That's right, yes.
Way in advance. Way
in advance. Yes, there is a competition in my schedule, actually. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Chris got in there just ahead of St. Augustine's Lethbridge, because usually they're very in advance, so she got in there really quickly. But it is indeed a blessing to be with you on this great feast day. And I was just thinking, I kind of gave a little summary of my homily, just a sort of part of it in the children's talk there. The resonances, we talk about the day of Pentecost, and of course we all think about the scene in the upper room where the Spirit comes down and we hear the wind and the flames of fire, and of course we should, because that is central for us. But when you stop to think about what it was that people in those days would have seen, heard, and experienced in that event, then you do have to start looking back and saying, why Pentecost? Why? Well, because it was the giving of the law, because it was the first fruits. And here we have in this event the first fruits, the apostles, who are the first fruits of the preaching ministry and the call of Jesus, who are there having the Spirit poured out upon them to go forth. And again, as the image that I used with the young people, also that image of God putting his law in the heart in the day of that celebrated the giving of Torah. And then, of course, there's the image of all those people hearing the gospel being spoken to them in their various languages. And so we have the first fruits of the nations also present, hearing and are being gathered in as the power of the Spirit comes out upon them. And we could go on with all sorts of little resonances that happen. But I thought that I would start today by talking about, has anybody noticed that in the last several decades there has been an ever-increasing number of movies and, well, let's just stick with movies, TV shows as well, books that have superheroes in them? Yeah, superhero. Yeah, you got that. Yeah, superheroes. Yeah, and what do superheroes have? Anybody? Superpowers, right? Superpowers, exactly. Superheroes have superpowers, and each of them has one that's unique to them, right? You know, you guys are nodding here. Which one would you like to be? Flash, Superman? You don't mind. Anyone? You'll just good for you. Yeah, yeah. Not the Hulk. Anybody but the Hulk. Okay. I am with you, brother. I am with you. Anybody but the Hulk. Yeah, exactly. And of course, not just superheroes, but then how many people? Harry Potter? Yeah. Magical powers, right? It's sort of like superpower in a way, just in a different kind of mode, right? You get a magic wand that you can make all sorts of things happen. Wouldn't that be great, you know? Mom says, better clear the table now, and you go, could you do the dishes? yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because it's fascinating to see all this, right? All these different things that go on. But there's always a bit of a tug of war, isn't there, in the stories, right? Because not only are there superheroes, there's also super villains. Yeah, the villains. Yeah. And nowadays, of course, because we want characters to be complex, sometimes the superheroes are just over the edge, right? And in the Harry Potter movies, there's the wizards who can do all sorts of good stuff, and then there is Voldemort, the bad guy, who uses all the powers for evil. And if you stop and think about that for a minute, what I see in that is that deep in our souls, there is some kind of a yearning. And now, go with me here. This is a bit of a stretch for some people. Human beings have a yearning for the Holy Spirit. We have a yearning for the Holy Spirit. We want that divine power in us. The problem with it is that motivation plays a huge role in what we're about, right? That's why you have superheroes and supervillains, and why the superheroes are complicated, and why you have good wizards and bad wizards, and why even the good wizards can sometimes be complicated, because it's so tied up with our own impulses, right? We want the power. But the power of the Holy Spirit is only for good, right? God cannot do evil. It's the only thing that God cannot do, by definition, is evil. Human beings, on the other hand, have a successful and long history of doing evil in the world. And when we get power, that's kind of what we tend to do, right? It's kind of what we tend to do. And what's more, well, superheroes are always saving the day for everybody, right? Well, not always. As I said, they're complicated characters, right? And the wizards who are good are doing things that are good for others, and, well, not always, right? Because not only do we have the power to do evil, we also just, and this is a slight, subtle distinction here, we have the ability, the free will, to be all about us, right? We have the free will to decide that whatever God has given us by way of a gift, we'll use it for ourselves. I think, we're all kind of influenced by it. I was going to say, I'm not going to name any names in the world, but there are some really, really, really brilliant people who can make spaceships and cars that go on electricity. There could be more than one of those. Very brilliant, but for whom that is used for their own purpose. Whatever I want to do, how I want to shape the world. How I want to shape the world. Does that sound like anything to anybody? Just a little resonance there, how I want things to be? Does anybody remember a story right near the beginning where some people are, decide that they'd like to, eat a fruit? There's a fruit thing, and why do they eat it? They eat it because the serpent says, if you eat that, you'll be like God. Right? Yeah. If you eat that, you'll be like God. You'll have the power to make things be the way you want them to be. You'll know, and you'll have all that, right? Wow. We have the power. We have the power. Well, today's gospel reading has the beginning of another story. Well, it's not the beginning, but it's a key stage in another story. Did you hear that story about what happens in the Gospel of John when Jesus first appears after the resurrection? This is Jesus' first appearance after the resurrection in the Gospel of John to the disciples as a whole. I mean, he's seen Mary, but to the disciples as a whole. And he says, peace be with you. And then what is it that he does? He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Does that resonate for anybody, another part of the Bible? Right near the beginning? Chapter 2, Genesis? God molds the people out of clay, and then he breathes his spirit into them, and they become living beings. And now Jesus, who has gone through the suffering of human sin and brokenness and entered even into death and has been raised again, comes forward and, to his disciples, breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Because God is, by the Spirit, making a new creation. Making a new creation. We messed up the first one. And God says, but you know what? I can do this again. He was probably going, I can do it again and again, you people. I can do it again and again. You keep messing up, I'm going to keep loving you and breathing the Spirit. But here we have in this moment, Jesus breathes on his disciples And it is a recreation, a new creation by the power of the Spirit. And then we hear, what does the Spirit do? Well, what is the first thing that we heard in Acts? There they are. The Spirit descends in power now. And they go out and they bear witness to what Jesus has done. They tell the story and people's hearts are changed and turned and they start to gather back. The power of the Spirit isn't because Peter or James or John said, you know what, we could start up a really successful church here in Jerusalem. We could, yeah. Especially with this kind of power stuff, man, we could just break it in. It's not what he's doing. Not what they're doing. The Holy Spirit comes and they proclaim the good news. And I have to say that I think weird sense of humor. I think that this line in passage in Acts has got one of the funniest statements in the scriptures. And part of that is because I spent a number of years in engineering school. And so when the people say they're drunk and Peter says, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It can't be that way. And I think, evidence would suggest otherwise. But anyways, that aside, there, as the Spirit is poured out, as this new creation is beginning to grow and take its effect, the law is planted in their hearts. And what does that law tell them? To proclaim the good news of Jesus, to call the people to repentance, to call them to join in this new life. Well, then we move on to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And we have that famous passage in which Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we talked about superpowers, right? Yeah, superpowers. So, unfortunately, none of, like, running really fast, leaping over tall buildings, I don't even remember what the other guys do, you know, Wolverine with the big claws, yeah, none of those are on the list. Just to be clear, none of them are on there. But the superpowers that are on there, which God freely gives, is for prophecy, for preaching the gospel, for healing, for looking after people. It is the power of God's Spirit working in human beings to make them like Jesus, to do the work that Jesus did in the world. Did you hear it? There's a really great phrase in there that just jumped out at me again when I was reading it this time around. To each is given a gift for the common good. Anybody heard the phrase, the common good? Yeah, we hear about it all the time in politics, right? Yeah. For the common good. Yeah. I'm glad we intend that. How do we get to the common good? Well, you probably almost certainly need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's for the common good. And each of us receives a gift. And here's the thing, though. We don't get the gifts because we get to do what we want. We don't get the gifts to make things be the way that we want. We don't get the gifts because it's our little special thing. The gifts of God are so that we can do the work of God, God's mission in the world. God bearers, bearers of God's Spirit in the world. And so today we have four people, one being baptized and four being confirmed. And they will reaffirm their faith. And most of us have seen this before, right? We will reaffirm the faith of our baptism alongside of the confirmands, alongside the one who is being baptized. But at the heart of this is two things. One, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection. And the second is that being brought to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we're reaffirming our vows, we aren't just saying, oh, here's a reminder about what we're supposed to do. We're being given a reminder of who we are. Of who we are. A new creation by the power of God's Spirit. Those who have been gifted and empowered to preach the good news. Those who have been called to work together with the whole of the body for the common good. those who have been called to be the vessels of God's Spirit in a broken and hurting and confused world. And so today we pray, come Holy Spirit afresh upon us all. Transform and change us to be like Jesus. Grow in us the fruit of your Spirit. And make us superheroes for Jesus. Amen.